I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew this morning, and turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. I want to preach on the greatest event of all human history. As far as man is concerned, as far as you and I are concerned, the greatest event of all human history is found here. In Matthew chapter 27, let's pick up verse 34. Matthew chapter 27, verse 34. Now, the name of my message is, how do you look at the greatest event of all human history? How do you look at it? Matthew chapter 27, verse 34 says, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garment, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now I want you to take a pen and underline verse 36. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now there's a great crowd there watching the greatest event of all human history. Now you say, why do you say this is the great event of all human history? When Christ was dying on the cross of Calvary, and when he was being crucified and nailed to that stake almost 2,000 years, that's the greatest event of all human history as far as I'm concerned. You say, why? Because when I came to the cross, I changed directions from hell to heaven. When I came to the cross, God took and changed my heart on the inside and gave me the divine nature of God himself. It's the greatest event of all human history is when I came to the cross of Calvary. So I want to preach this morning on how do you look at the greatest event of all human history. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you just please wash me in your precious blood. Father, I pray you'd wash my mind. I pray that you'd wash my heart. I pray that you'd cleanse me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toe. And Father, I pray you'd help me not to say anything I shouldn't say. And Father, I pray that you'd help me to say everything I should say. And I pray if there's a soul here this morning that's looking at the cross in the wrong way, Father, I pray that you'd help them to see. And I pray that you'd help them to stop. And I pray that you would help them to meditate upon this great event, and that they would come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now this morning, the reason why I'm preaching this message is for a Christian never to forget that time when he accepted Christ as his Savior, and for you to help you as a Christian to give it to somebody else. The reason why God saved you is so that you could give it to somebody else. Not just that you could get saved yourself, but that you pass it on to somebody else. Pass it on to somebody else. The greatest thing in your life as a Christian, the greatest joy that you'll ever experience, the greatest thing you do as a Christian is to point somebody to the cross of Calvary. Now you know I'm telling you the truth. No, so meditate upon this morning. All right, take your Bible. Some folks look at the cross like this. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. And in Luke chapter 23, I want you to look at verse 34. Luke chapter 23, and let's pick up verse 27. Luke chapter 23 and verse 27. And there followed him a great company of people, a great company of people, and of women, now underline it, of women which also bewailing and lamenting in him. Now look what happens. But Jesus turned unto them and said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the day cometh which in which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the womb, and neither bear, and the pups which never suck. Then shall they begin to say unto the mountains, And fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if then do these things in a green tree, what will they do in a dry tree? Now Jesus Christ is talking to all these women that are following him. And Jesus Christ is going to the cross, and he's carrying the cross, and there's all these women right there. All these women. And there must be hundreds of them, just following Jesus Christ. And he's got that cross on him, and he's carrying that cross, and he's getting ready to go, and he's getting ready to die and be crucified, nailed to the cross. And all these women, now what are all them women there for? I'll tell you what all them women there for. Them women have seen their sons that were blind from birth. I know there was a woman standing there who had a child, and that child had been blind from birth, born blind, and blind from birth, like blind Bartimaeus, or any of them, several of them. And Jesus Christ had come along and taken his hands and laid his hands upon the eyes of her son. And her son's eyes opened up and he could see again. Now if you're a mother, you know what you say? You'd say, Look what the Lord did for my boy. Look what he did. My boy can see. My boy can see again. Oh, look what he did. Look what he did. Look what he did. If you was a mother, that man would be the greatest man on the face of this earth that did that for your son. See? And there was mothers there like that. There had to be mothers. It must have been one of the mothers there. One day Jesus was going along and there's a fellow that died. And the dead. She had a son, an only son, and he had died. Jesus come across there and was walking through there, and there was a funeral there, and all of a sudden Jesus Christ spoke to that fella, and that fella come right up out of that casket and was alive again. Now, I bet you that mother was there on that day when Jesus Christ was crucified, and I bet you that mother was right there when she saw her son come back alive again. Come back alive again. You know, so what is it? It's inside a mother's heart. And many fathers' hearts, that when something happens to your children, that's a great event. That's something just shake you all the way to your toes. Come on. Amen. And there's women, all those women right around there. You know what I did last night? Not last night, the night before last. Well, one of these nights here, I forgot what it was. One of these nights, right, I was laying down there and sleeping in Brother Martin's house, and I was laying down there sleeping, and it was early in the morning somewhere, about 3 or 4 o'clock, and I was dreaming away. I was dreaming. You know, that's just a dream, okay? Just a dream. It was not a dream. It was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. And I was dreaming this nightmare, and I seen this car going down the road. And this car had an accident. And I seen the car, and it was my son's car. It had an accident right in front of me. The car spun around and had a bad accident. This is just a dream, now, folks. Come on. A nightmare. And it spun around backwards, and had a terrible wreck, and this car hit that wreck and went over to the side, and I ran up there, and my boy John, his arm was cut off here, and his leg was cut off here, and he was laying in his blood just bleeding to death in my dream. And I ran up and grabbed a hold of my boy John and hugged him and said, John, and John died in my arms. Now that's a nightmare. Yeah. Come on, folks, that's a nightmare. That's a nightmare. But there were days that Jesus Christ took a leper, and her son was a leper. And Jesus said to the leper, You're healed. Now, if my son had leprosy, thank God he don't, but if my son had leprosy, and Jesus was here and I was there, and I saw Jesus heal my John from leprosy, and I was a mother, and I saw him, I would weep and bawl and cry, saying, They're going to kill my Savior. They're going to kill him. He healed my son from leprosy, and they're going to kill him. 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 You know what those mothers are? Their mothers don't really know why Jesus is dying. They love him for what he did for them. You know what some people do? They love God for what he can do for you. He can do a lot of wonderful things for you, can't he, folks? Amen. But that's not salvation. You ever hear somebody say, Boy, I sure thank God. Boy, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. Boy, I tell you, I thank God I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. Well, that's not salvation. That ain't salvation. I got a wonderful Savior. And he can raise you up off of a sick bed and heal you from cancer. And heal you from cancer again. And heal you from cancer again. That's a my merciful God. But you can still die and go to hell. That's not salvation. That's not the way to look at the cross. That's the wrong way to look at the cross. Now take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and I want you to look at verse 34. Verse 34. Now look at it. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garments and cast lots. Now, look at verse 36 in the same passage. And the soldiers also mocked him, came into him, and offered him vinegar, saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Then you know who else was there at the greatest event of all human history? At that time when Christ was nailed to the cross of Calvary, and he said, I thirst. You know who else was there? There were some soldiers there. Some Roman soldiers. And the Roman soldiers were down there and are at the foot of the cross. And they're saying, this guy up here, he's about dead. And I want that thing he's got on. I want his clothes. He had a vest on. And one fellow says, I want that thing. Boy, I'd like that. I think I'd like to have that. And the other one says, well, he's dead duck here in a few minutes, you know, fellas. I think I'd like to have that myself. You know, this guy, he's just an old sinner. He's just dying with the rest of these thieves, you know. And there's another one over there, and there's another one over there. And I'll tell you, he's just a sinner. He's just like a sinner, just like anybody else, you know, like I am, you are. And I'll tell you something. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's just throw some dice here for it. Come on, folks. 7, come 11. Come on now. Let's see who gets it. Now, you got it, Joe. It's yours. You know, some folks, how they look at Jesus Christ, the greatest event of all human history. The greatest event of all human history. Some folks look at it like Jesus Christ is just a sinner. Well, that's how they look at it. Jesus is just a sinner. I've had men tell me, well, Jesus was a sinner. I got news for you. Jesus Christ never sinned one day of his entire life. He never said, he never sinned 1 hour. He never sinned 1 minute. He never sinned 1 second. And he went through all his entire life. And he's just the opposite of you and me. Amen. I've never went one day without sinning. I've never went one day without sinning. And neither are you. You're a sinner just like me. And yet you say, he's a sinner just like you and me. That's how some folks look at it. Do you look at it that way? Is that the way you look at it? I got news for you. You're looking at it the wrong way. You need to change how you look at it. And you need to look at it. No, he wasn't a sinner. He was a Savior. He was a Savior. He was a Savior. And I want him as my Savior. And if you don't accept him as your Savior, you'll pay for your own sins and you'll go to hell forever and paying for your own sins. He's not a sinner. Don't look at it like they looked at it. They were soldiers. But don't look at it like they looked at it. Take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of Luke. And look at the Gospel of Luke. And I want to show you again a certain one. Look at Luke, John. Turn to John chapter 19. I want to show you another one. Look at the Gospel of John. And look at John chapter 19. And here's another person. Here's another one. At the foot of the cross of Calvary. And at the greatest event of all human history. The Gospel of John chapter 19. And let's look at verse 26. The Gospel of John. Well, I am in the wrong book. I gotta go over here to John. John chapter 19. And look at verse 26. Now look, you know, turn to it. It says, let's pick up verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his what? Mother. And his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. So there's Mary, the mother of Jesus, there's Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and then there's Mary Magdalene. And they're all Mary. So there's Mary, Mary, Mary. Now you know who Mary Magdalene was? Mary Magdalene was that woman that Jesus Christ come along and one day cast out 7 devils out of her. But here's a woman that's had 7 devils in her. Boy, she's been through something. That lady has been somewhere. Hey, man, if you got 7 devils inside you, you've seen something, brother. And yet, here's this woman at the cross of Jesus, right down there, looking up at her Savior and watching him die. And I can imagine that woman, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, along with Mary, the Cleopas, looking up at the cross of Calvary, and she's saying, "He loved me for just what I was. He loved me just like I am. He knew everything about me. He knew what I'd done. He knew where I'd done it. He knew how I'd done it. And he loved me." Now, you know something? That's something you ought to think about. Jesus Christ knows everything about you. Everything that you've ever done. And he loves you anyway. You say, what's so great about that? I'll tell you what's great about it. If I knew some things that you know about yourself, I may not love you. I may not want to have anything to do with you. I may not even want to talk about you. I may not even want to look at you. If you knew some of the things I do, you wouldn't be smiling at me this morning. Why? Because you'd say, "You did that, preacher? Yeah, I didn't have 7 devils in me. May have had more, who knows?" But this woman had 7 devils in her. She done some things. And God, she's standing right down there and she looks at him and she says, "He loves me for just what I am." You know what a woman wants? She wants to be loved for just what she is. She wants a husband that'll love her for just what she is. Not for what she does. Not for what she's going to do. Not for what she's going to be. Not for her money. Not for her looks. Not for her talents. She wants to be loved for just what she is. Period. Amen. Come on, some of you ladies. Let me hear you ladies say amen. See, that's what a woman wants. That woman has it if she knows Jesus Christ as her Savior. She has that. If you're here this morning and saved, you have that. You have that. Why? Because you've been to the cross like Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now take her. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Why? She's looking at him saying, "He's my son. And he's my Savior. At the same time, my son and my Savior." You say a son? Every woman here has something in her heart that if she does not love her son, she's not a good woman. I can tell you're a good woman because you love your son. I said I can tell you a good woman because you love your son. Any woman who doesn't love her children is not a good woman in my book. And any man that doesn't love his children is not a good man in my book. Mary looks at him and says, "My son." And he's dying. "My son is dying. My son is dying." At the cross. And she sees it. Now, I don't think she saw that he was dying for her sins. I don't think she saw that. Didn't say so. Didn't say so. You can look at Jesus Christ as dying as your son would die. And you have a heart for him and say, "Well, Jesus, he's a good man. Jesus, he's a wonderful man. Jesus, he's a good man." But a Savior? You all look at him as your Savior from hell. And I'm sure she did as time went down the road. I'm sure she'd believe that. I'm sure she believed it right at the moment, right there. I don't know if she understood it, but I'm sure she understood that thing as it went on. Now again, take your Bible and look at the Gospel of Luke and turn to Luke chapter 23. Here's another one. It's the greatest event of all human history. Luke chapter 23. Turn to the verse. Luke chapter 23. Now turn to the verse and look at verse 39. Luke chapter 23 and verse 39. Now turn to it. The Gospel of Luke chapter 23 and verse 39 says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. So there's two malefactors. There's one on this side, and there's one over on this side. And there are two thieves there. One thief on this side looks at Jesus, and he looks and got a kind of a snarl on his face like this, and he kind of says, Jesus, you say you're the Savior. Let's see, if you're really the Savior, come save yourself and come down off the cross and save us too. You know, that's how some folks look at it. They look at Jesus Christ, the Savior, huh? A Savior. And you really don't know the Savior. You just look at it like, oh, well, there's nothing. Jesus the Savior ain't really anything. Jesus the Savior. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to die like one of them malefactors. And you're going to die in your sin. And you're going to go to hell like that fellow on the cross, on the side of the cross, that said, if you're Jesus. Well, he was Jesus, and he was the Savior. But then notice there's another fellow right over there. Notice this other fellow. Verse 40. But the other, take your pen and underline it. But the other, now underline that. But the other said, the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, underline that. And we indeed justly. So one fellow on this side of the cross, he's hanging, and he looks over to the other side and says, Hey, fella, you're here with me, and we deserve what we got. We deserve it. We've got what's coming to us. We indeed justly. You know what that fellow saw? That fellow saw that he was a sinner. That fellow saw that he ought to die for his sin. He deserved what he got. You know something? Some folks in this life, they have something. They see that they're a sinner, and they see that their sins are taking them to hell, and then they say, well, preacher, I'm a sinner. I ought to go to hell for it. You know, if you could just find a sinner that sees he's a sinner and sees he's lost and sees he's going to hell, you can get him saved. If you can just convince a man that his sins are taking him to hell, that's the problem. I've had an old drunk sit in my office one day. He was drunk. I mean, been drunk all his life. Cussed and swore. He had lines across his face and lines across his mouth. And lived a whole life of nothing but whiskey and booze. And I says, you're a sinner and you need to get saved. Would you like to get saved? And he looked at me and said, preacher, don't call me a sinner. I thought, man, don't you know you're a sinner? Don't you know that? Look at yourself. Don't you, what's wrong with you? This guy, I mean, he's half drunk, you know. Why, preacher, don't call me a sinner. That's the problem. You look at the cross of Calvary and you don't see yourself. All you see is a man dying and you don't even know what he died for. You're a sinner. This fellow over here, he's hanging on the cross and he says, hey, shut up, man, shut up. We ought to go to hell for what we've done. Shut up. This guy in the middle, this Jesus in the middle, he hadn't done anything wrong. You know what that guy did? He looked at Jesus in the middle and said, that fella hadn't done anything wrong. Nothing wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him. Now look what he says. Take your Bible and look at verse 41. And we indeed justly, underline it, we indeed justly. He saw that he deserved what he got, and he deserved to go to hell. If God or the Holy Spirit show you you're a lost sinner and you deserve to go to hell, you can get saved. You can get saved. And for we received the due rewards of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. Now watch him. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom. Then what is he doing when he's hanging there? He's hanging there on the cross of Calvary, and how in the world did he know that Jesus Christ was a king with a kingdom? He must have heard that somewhere. He must have heard somewhere that Jesus Christ was a king and had a kingdom. And right there on the cross of Calvary, he says, Lord, Well, how did he know that he was the Lord? Must have heard it somewhere. Must have saw it somewhere. Must have been in his life somewhere or another. He said, that man is the Lord. Nobody could do that except the Lord. And so he must have heard it. Must have saw him. Maybe he heard about Lazarus coming up from the grave. Maybe he heard about Nicodemus getting saved out of the sycamore tree. Maybe he heard about blind Bartimaeus getting his eyes back. Maybe he heard about the widow's son coming back alive. I don't know how he heard about it, but he heard about it and said, Lord, remember me. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what he's calling for? He's calling for God to save him. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to die right there. He's on his deathbed. He's getting ready to die. Now, I don't recommend you wait till you drop dead to get saved. If you wait till you get in the hospital and say, I'm going to get in the hospital, and when I die, I'm going to get saved right in the hospital. I'm going to call on God. I'm going to ask him to save me. I'm going to ask him to forgive me right there in the hospital. Do you know something? They'll probably have you so drugged, full of morphine and full of drugs, you won't be able to do that. You better call on God right now while you still can. While you've got a clear mind and a clear heart and you're responsible, and then God will save your soul if you'll call on him. But if you wait and you wait and wait, you're liable to die in your sins and go to hell. He called on him. Is that thief on that side called on him? He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus turned and to his face to the sinner, he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know something? That thief on the cross shows me that's the only way to look at the greatest event of all human history. Look at him as your Savior. Call on him. Ask him to save your soul. There's no other way to look at it. You can look at it as a mother, a soldier. You can look at it as a mocker. But if you look at it as Jesus Christ, look at him as a Savior, and look at him as your only Savior, you'll look at it the only way to look at the cross of Calvary. I pray this morning that God will look at you and say, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. I'm going to die and I'm going to go with Jesus Christ and I'm going to go with him into paradise. That very thief on the cross, when he died, he bowed his head and he died and his soul stepped out of his body and he went with Jesus Christ to paradise. The very day. You say, how do you know? Because Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. And that's where he went. And that's where you go if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Will you look at the cross of Calvary and look at Jesus dying on the cross, a nail in his hand, and a thorn of crowns around his head, and a spear in his side, and blood running down his side, and say, I look at him as the Savior from hell for my sins. Will you accept him right now? Every eye closed and every head bowed. The best way to look at the greatest event of all human history is come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior. Like the thief on the cross, look at it. There were others down beside the cross that were mocking it. The scribes and Pharisees, they mocked Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. And they rejected him. Now don't you reject him. Don't you turn him down. There's nothing wrong with the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior this morning.